My name is Catherine Staples. I'm the Minister for Youth and College here at Westminster Chapel. I cannot begin to tell you what an honor it is to be with you this morning. Good, good. Things good. Our scripture this morning, hear now from the word of the Lord. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you have received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. For the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And we are all led by the Spirit of God. And our students have experienced that this week in a special way, his leading and his prompting. But this Sunday is about our family here. And this experience wasn't just for our kids at camp, but is one available to all of us. Friends, this is such good news. Let's ask the Spirit to do the same leading work in us this morning. Father God, we are so grateful you have given us your scriptures, your word through the Son, and your work through the Spirit, not just to move in the lives of our young people at camp, but for all of us. Illuminate your presence in our lives through Romans this morning, that we might celebrate the work you're doing in the church family you've offered us. Amen. So, the Spirit you've received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We are family in Christ. And God's Spirit in us is the game changer. It opens every door. It ushers in a new way of living, a different kind of unity with God. And God's desire isn't that you would live in fear of him, that you would cower in front of him, his awe and his might, but that you would be welcomed in as family. That you are no longer strangers and aliens, but sons and daughters of God. No longer hovering on the outside of relationship with God and community with his people, but welcomed abundantly, completely, fully part of the family. Not because of what we've done, not because we're awesome, but because of what he's done. And so from the foundation of the world, God has known you and loved you and desired you in his family. He has chosen you for his own. And at camp, there were so many ways that we saw God bring us together as family. Something new that we did this year was we invited and welcomed Reach Church in Kirkland to be a part of our time together at camp. And it was such a blessing. It was not something that I had thought about in advance in a huge way, the way that it would change the tone of our camp experience. But one of the things that they brought was they brought a worship team to lead us for the week. What an incredible gift to be a part of their family as well, for us to join together as family, not just them to be a part of our thing, but to really come together as one. And their youth pastor, Nick Shafto, taught the gospel application on Thursday morning. Our times of prayer together as leaders and counselors, their encouragement, their enthusiasm, their flexibility, their willingness to compromise, being together was so enriching for all of our experience, and it was such a gift that God gave to us. It helped me to see camp through fresh eyes again. And we benefited, they're a smaller church than us, so we benefited from their nimble and agile, and they're new, and they're flexible, and they were able to benefit from our big machine, our slow ship, and our ancient traditions. You gotta own what you've got. And my first year was last year, and I had come on staff in April and was really sort of a tag-along to camp last year. And there come with some benefits and some challenges to that. And something that's important for you to know about our camp experience is we split kids onto 4 color teams. And there are color competitions throughout the week. And all of the games that we play earn points for each of the teams who win. And at the end of the week, we announce a winner. Go red team. And these games are very competitive. There is a high level of intensity to the way that we play together. And there was a moment last year when some of the high school guys came together and they took off their color shirts and they all had black shirts underneath. And they band together and made a 5th team, the black team. There were kids who were left out of the black team. There were kids who were upset about the ways that the rules were broken. And everyone, I think, felt disrupted that the best leaders on their team had abandoned their color team to win points for a team that didn't exist. And so this year, we're praying, we're so glad, the Lord is at work. These same guys rock up to chapel to hear the instructions for our next game in black shirts. My adrenaline spikes, my heart rate rises, I'm pulling aside their leader, I'm furious, I can't believe this has happened again, I'm filled with rage, the Lord is abandoning me in this moment, I think, why, oh why, have you forsaken me, black team? But what happened was they came together as the black team in the middle of the field, and they prayed for the game, and for the camp, and for the teams, and they took off their black shirts, and they joined their color team. And this was not from their leaders. This was not an idea that, like, they said, oh, this would be a really good thing that Catherine would really like. This would really smooth over all those bad feelings. This was such a powerful moment of God's redemption from a thing that was so difficult from last year. And it showed me a lot about what it means to be family. Not that we never get it wrong, but that we come around and we try again. And on Monday, Carlos Skullrud from our creative team here at Westminster Chapel opened Genesis in our chapel time and spoke about each of us. We are created by God out of his great love for us. We are unique. We have special gifts and talents. Our creative work is a mirror of his creative work in us. And to experience the originality of creation, we took time in the midst of worship to create puzzle pieces representative of each of us, how we are created, our gifts and talents, and role in the family of God. And I wanted to share with you this morning our puzzle. What a beautiful representation of our sliver of the family of God together at camp. And I'm going to leave this up here, and I'd encourage you to come and look at it because it's so beautiful. And there are so many beautiful, this is a little big for me, there are so many beautiful pieces here to enjoy. Speak healing words and build up together. I'm a storyteller. Leadership and joyful spirit. He gifted me with the skill of teaching, and one day I will reflect him and his truths in my classroom. I can't do this alone, but God didn't make us to be alone. Life isn't always easy, but we can get through it together. There's a recipe on here. There's all kinds of things. God is so good. And the kids took this really seriously. And one of the pieces that stood out to me, whose story I heard, most of these stories, they circle around the leader meetings. Because I read the scripture and we opened it up for all the leaders to share what God was at work doing. And I have pages and pages from every cabin, from every leader, what it was that God was at work doing. And this is one of the stories that came out at those leader meetings, that there was a leader sitting behind a group of middle school boys who were helping each other as they made their pieces, supporting each other, encouraging each other. And one of the kids from that group said, I just feel really called to adopt in my family. And his piece is on here. And we do cards at the end of camp as sort of a moment of reflection. Well, the question on here is, write down something you will take away from your camp experience. And I'll read a couple of these throughout the service. So, I will take away everything that I've learned. That Jesus will always love me no matter what my sins. Besides my doubts, Jesus and God will be there for me, and God hurts when he sees me hurt. God will be with me always, and I need to keep my faith in him no matter what. That we are on the same team as God. My identity is in Christ and not in my appearance. During the first night of worship, instead of just singing, I actually listened to what I was singing about, and I was hit with this sudden emotion. So what I think God was telling me is, I am a child of God. But as I said, this isn't just for us at camp, but this is God's invitation to you as well. So if you look in your bulletin, I don't think it's the bulletin, I think there was an insert, and let's ponder this question together, or pray silently now and ask the Lord what it might be. Or maybe this is your prayer asking him this week, what is your unique role in the family of God? Let's take a moment now and either write and pray around this question. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. We are family in mission. We are created for a purpose as part of our inheritance. The work that the Father does, we do also. That we're called into together in our uniqueness, no longer slaves, but through the Spirit, sons and heirs. And that we inherit from our Father God, his kingdom work. That as adopted sons and daughters of our Father God, we are grafted into the complex tapestry of gifts and talents around us to serve the kingdom. Some of us are gifted evangelists. Some of us are gifted in serving. Some gifted in teaching. Some in empathy or listening. And it's because we belong to the Father that we are part of this inheritance, that we gain this purpose in joining him in the kingdom work he's already doing. And our kids are way tapped into this. And this is, again, through the lens of the leader meetings. There was an update every time we would meet. We did leader meetings twice a day. And there would always be an update, friends, on the party. So the seventh grade girls decided way early in the week they were going to host a party for all of the girls at camp. You know, because Berenstain Bears, no boys allowed. So they wrote invitations. They put invitations on the doors. They worked out the snacks. There's no food allowed in the cabins, but they got special dispensation from Siri to have snacks in the common room. They kept the boys out for 1 hour of special girl time, and then they invited the boys to join for 1 hour. Someone was in charge of the music. Someone was in charge of what games they would play and who would lead them. Every girl had a role. And there was a moment in the leader meeting where one of the Reach leaders shared how meaningful it was for the upperclassmen girls to receive their invitation. I know what a party's about. I'm in. I'm coming. We're ready. And it's such a picture of the kingdom of God. You're invited. Church, you're invited to the party. What good news! And on Tuesday, Steve Parsons from our care department, the kids adore Steve. The kids think Steve is like the best person, which is so delightful. And Steve opened 2 Peter 1 to share about the purpose we gain in following Christ. Being created good is easy. We are. We're created good. Great news. Uniquely in God's image. But then what? What's the next step? How do we step into the legacy that God lays out for us? How do we discern his call for us? And Steve did a beautiful job sharing his story and some of the ways that we can hear from God. And especially as young people are in the midst of making these decisions about who they'll choose to be. One of my greatest gifts throughout the week was the opportunities that I had to pray for people. And I had the opportunity to pray for two seniors that night. And it was such a privilege for me. It was such a big part of my faith journey to get a chance to be a part of their story. It was such a generosity that I would be a part of God speaking over them identity and chosenness and calledness. That these kids are hearing from God is such a gift to have a front row seat to. And throughout the week as I prayed for people, God showed up. Students surrendered to God's authority. Students received prophetic words from God. Students received miraculous healing. And I know it sounds like my faith is really small and my belief is so limited, but I've never seen anything like this. The movement of the Spirit was staggering. And to give some space after what, to hear from God after what Steve had shared, we gave the kids an opportunity to release to God their prayers, their worries, their fears, their excitement, their hopes, their expectations around these decisions they're making every day about who to be. And this here, next to our organ, is our prayer wall, the outworking of all of our students' offering to God. That I can make a difference in the world even though I'm only 11. That I should not feel like I have to restrict my abilities. God placed new words on my heart, new words to help me in my walk with God, in my spirit, and showing me how I should continue with my faith and life. But the part of this that touches my heart so deeply, church, is that you were with us this week. Your faithful and regular support, praying for our young people, your willingness to engage them in the narthex, volunteering in early life, in elementary, or in youth ministry over the years, giving generously to the work of this church that has supported our youth so faithfully, all led to the powerful things that happened last week in their lives of faith. I, our leaders, and their parents are grateful for all of the ways that you've helped to provide this opportunity and supported their spiritual growth. So with deep sincerity, I want to say thank you. And let's take a moment and thank God for what we have here, our multi-generational, multi-ethnic family on mission together. What a joy it is to celebrate all God's given to us as family. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Church, we are family in suffering. And it's easy to talk about suffering in the context of faith in an abstract way. Suffering is out there, we're over here. But for those who are suffering, it's very difficult to get your arms around. What does that really mean for us in our day-to-day, in our regular life experience? And Paul confronts the theory connected to the reality in Galatians 6. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The church is called to be a refuge to those seeking help, a safe haven for those in the eye of the storm, a place of love and care for those outcast and invisible to the world, a place of justice and action for the marginalized and the oppressed, not just to care for those out here, but to identify with those around us, because that's what family does. You never stop fighting for your own. And that's what's grown in the youth ministry this year and what we've seen the outworking of at camp. So it doesn't take very long to know me to learn that I'm a planner. I had everything written in advance. Summer camp is our Super Bowl in the youth ministry. Everything was ready. I had my morning prayer devotionals written. I had my leader meeting devotionals written. I had my prayer exercises written, the prayer wall, and the puzzle pieces. Our morning and evening announcements were written well in advance. Lists made, supplies bought, prepared, and packed. I'm just not very good on the fly. But on Wednesday, Steve had talked the night before, and all day Wednesday, I just watched from afar as Steve had meaningful experiences with students, with leaders. People are crying. People are hugging Steve. And I became so bitter in my heart. I was so jealous of Steve. Who are you to come to my camp? These are my kids. He is picking my spiritual fruit. Oh, church, how wrong I was. How broken and needing Jesus correction. And because the Lord is faithful, because the Lord is good, because he is present in my life, I graciously received it. And once you receive a word from the Lord, you know it's not just for you. So I rewrote my devotional for the Wednesday leader meeting. And I talked about being intimidated by the other leaders, about how hard it is to be so different as a team and to see others' gifts at work. God's blessing and calling on us means that we trust him as a God of abundance and not a God of lack, that he is the one who portions out our joy, our leadership ability, our fun, our special moments, our quiet moments, our sleeping minutes, our successes, our spiritual fruit. And they're not to be compared to others. People who are more fun than us. People who are more spiritual than us. When we keep our eyes on him, he portions for us exactly what we should have. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And we don't get extra spirit points for trying to carry our own heavier burden. And from my pettiness, my bitterness, my small-mindedness, God spoke to me. Half a dozen leaders came to me immediately and said they felt like God had written it just for them. And I got to pray for people. And God released some of the burden that we all carried that week of being the spiritual leaders of our cabins. And I saw in part what this means, that the suffering and that the glory are tied together. But this suffering is part of our inheritance, that the Son has suffered, so we also suffer. We are promised that we will share in his suffering, that we may also participate in his glory. And on Wednesday, Arlene Finley from our worship team shared about the inherent struggles that come in the life of faith. But as a family, we rally around each other. We support each other. We carry each other through the dark days because Christ is our light in the darkness and our hope for the hopeless. And our students know this acutely because of the ways that they responded to Arlene. She is their people. They feel such solidarity with her because of how vulnerable she is with them. And because of her sharing, their stories came to light. Stories of family members who had tried to commit suicide, kids struggling with eating disorders and abuse, kids who have had depression so long they can't remember what it feels like to be happy. And in his mercy and grace, because he handed them the courage at the moment that they needed it, there was space for those stories to come to light, and there were opportunities to pray for those students. And I mentioned Nick Shafto is the Reach youth leader. He shared on Thursday morning after Arlene's talk about how the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, touches every part of the bad experience that we have in this world. And the kids made a list. This is our bad news. Divorce, idolatry, addiction, depression, death, racism, division, bullying, pornography, violence, insecurity, jail, entitlement, disease, negativity, closed-mindedness, apathy, hard-heartedness. Each of these things is met with God's freedom and his forgiveness, his love, his hope, his life, his peace, his joy, his happiness, his grace, his healing, his humility, his trust, his safety, his wholeness, his understanding, his unity, his perfection, his purpose, his redemption, his revival, his community, his confidence, and his victory, that in Christ, it is finished. And knowing what we do about the inherent struggles of growing up today, we wanted to offer our students a gift of grace, of remembrance of all that God had promised them. And so each student collected a journal, and they wrote, "I am," on the front. And they went around the room to receive a blessing from Scripture for each leader present at camp. Beloved of God, chosen by God, co-heir with Christ, strong in the Lord, righteous in his sight. And on the cards, this is what some students took away from this camp experience. I learned a new saying. They're so great. I learned a new saying. Because God is on your side, he doesn't do stuff for you. Don't go to your God saying, "I have a big problem." You go to your problem and you say, "I have a big God. I will take with me that I can trust God no matter what. And even if we're asking something hard or complicated, he has so much power, and that he is always stronger than fear. Letting God wash me clean. No matter what we do, God will always be with us, and he will provide for us in times of need. I thought I was all right in my relationship with God, but over the course of the camp, I found out I had been struggling with hating myself. God provided a new purpose and joy in my life, and with a new group of friends who are going to help me in my commitment. So my invitation to you is to return to your bulletin now and fill in the blank beside the words, "I am." What is God's promise to you in this season? What is his word of encouragement and reminder to you? Take a moment now and reflect on that. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Church, we are family in what's to come. Our church family is united in Christ, but is ultimately incomplete. And although we await participation in the glory of Christ, our time here is purposeful, sharing Christ's invitation to the banquet of joy. We join Christ in his kingdom work until we come into the fullness of his glory. And so through the lens of these leader meetings, there was one student who stood out to me throughout the week. She was very timid and very soft-spoken. She was very shy. It was her first year at camp. She had a desperation to be a part of the group. She wanted to participate in everything and to seize all of this time and all of this enjoyment and all of what God had to offer her with both hands. She was all in. And so we play this game on Tuesday morning, and it's called the Slip and Slide Olympics. So there's like a steal the bacon station where it's like a tarp, and there's like an inner tube in the middle, and then they put like shaving cream on the inner tube. And then they like call your number, and you go up and you try and pull the inner tube to your side. Except the tarp is also like wet and slippery because it's like water and like dishwashing soap and like baby oil, so you're also like immediately disgusting. And then there's like a crab soccer station, and there's like two goals on either end, and your team, go red. goes against another team, and the tarp is like slippery, and you're trying to do it like on your hands, like walking with your, it's not my sport really, but like slippery, like water and baby oil and like dishwashing soap. So, and then the last one is slip and slide kickball. So there's like a inflatable children's pool. Like, does that, yes, people are tracking? Okay, great. There's like an inflatable children's pool as each of the bases. So there's four, and then there's like a long, narrow tarp, like going out to the like slip and slide pool, or like a slip and slide that leads to the pool, right? And you tag the base. But the part of this that's like difficult to quantify is like how competitive this really is. And I played with the high school girls this year, and they're a real competitive, athletic, committed group. And it makes like games like this somewhat dangerous. And so we have really strict rules to like hem in like the imminent danger coming for every kid. We have a nurse who's on the field with us, like, but we have really strict rules. So you have to slide on your stomach in the slip and slide kickball to get to the whatever. Because if you're standing and you're trying to slip and slide down there, you will definitely fall. And that's either like hitting your head or it's pulling muscles in your body, neither of which I'm prepared to deal with. So we have this rule that you have to slide on your stomach. And because this student that I was watching all week isn't very pushy, something happened at the end where she was the last kicker. And if you are a sports person, you know that the last kicker is sort of an important place to be. The bases are loaded, and this kid comes to the bat. And she kicks it, which is a total miracle. If she had only kicked it, it would have been a miracle from the Lord. Absolutely, 100%. But then there's like all this slather of movement of kids trying to get from their base home, because that's the only way you get any of the points for your team. And each girl is like thrashing to get to the next base before they get tagged. And I turn and I look. And it was so staggering. It was easily my favorite moment of camp, because there she is. She's crawling slowly, in slow motion almost, painstakingly, on her hands and knees, hand over foot on this soapy tarp to make it to first base. And I was so touched, because it would have been so easy for her to sit out. And she could easily have pushed ahead to not be in that last spot. But she was so committed to being on the team and to being a part of all that God had to offer her that in her trepidation, she was willing to crawl to get there. And it's such a beautiful, touching picture of faith. It would be so much easier to opt out of the life of faith. But the abundance of the life that Christ offers us is so, so worth it. And so on Thursday, Sylvia shared an important close to our week together. So what? So we're created good in his image as a part of his family. So in Christ, we have a purpose that benefits others. So we share in his suffering, supported by our church community. So what? And I love Sylvia's beautiful heart for people. Only Sylvia would do this. I would never trust a student to do this. She welcomes students up during her talk to share. Lucy came up and she shared about the pull towards life in Christ. Michaela came up and shared about the pull towards life in the flesh that we all experience. Eleanor came up and shared about the mission trip to Ensenada. Tommy came up and shared about the mission trip to Guatemala. That this life of faith isn't just for us. It's for everything. Everyone. It's for everyone. It is. That as we submit to his authority in our lives, he calls us to therefore go. That there are others who need to share in our joy, who need our hope for all that's to come. And because God is so kind, we don't have to go alone. Because he died for us, our inheritance is his fullness of joy. It's this promise of union with God because of Christ through the Spirit, this participation in the glorification of all that's to come, that we experience now in part and later in full. And as we wait for the fulfillment of all that's to come, We're invited in the scriptures to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes and brings this future, this promised glory that's ahead. I came to this camp as an atheist, and I left this camp as a Christian. But I also left this camp with a bunch of bruises and sunburned. Because they're children. It's delightful. I found out how to trust God and to accept him as my Savior. P.S. Don't get bad sunburn. To let go and let God. I learned to give God control of my whole life at all times. Wow. I know that I need to be in community with other believers so that they can remind me of my identity as a child of God. I also learned how to go deeper with prayer. I will be braver and bolder and more courageous and less afraid to be more open and talk and laugh and conversation and not be as fearful of growing up and the unknown because I know God is with me and has the plan all mapped out. And he gave me amazing friends to be with me too. Church, let's pray and thank God for all that he's done for us. Lord, we're so grateful for your presence at camp. All of our planning in anticipation, all of our excitement and our waiting wouldn't have done anything if it wasn't for you. Thank you for the ways that you showed up for people. Thank you for the ways that you were present to people. Thank you for the ways that we were able to draw close to you and to be family together. Lord, it's so beautiful to be a part of your family. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.